He has worked long and hard, more than, I think, almost probably 3 years from the time, maybe 2.5 years from the time he started on his ministry quest to get his license. And Brother Parker, who is on the board, who was here last week, told me when he went before the board, he had to tell Brother Tim, just hold on a minute, we need to get baptized. So he did a good job before the board, and so I'd like to present to you today, Brother Tim Lechinger is going to come and preach to us. Let's stand. Amen. Let's get behind the preacher. Amen.
Praise the Lord. I'm telling you, God is good. And all the time, God is good. When we don't see it, he's working. When we don't believe it, he's working. You see, but that's just the devil that tries to put that seed of doubt in us. He puts that seed of doubt in us and we bite on it. And we eat it. But we gotta throw that away. Throw that away. I would be amiss to just say, you know, I praise the Lord. June is my month. June is my month. Can nobody take that from me? It's my birthday. I just turned 40. Woo. I just turned 40. Saturday the 15th is me and my wife's 5th year of wedding bliss. And you know, I almost gave up on marriage. I said it wasn't happening for me. You know, I was getting older. I was looking at the clock. I said, it's not happening. I'm done. I'm done. But once I gave up, that's when God moved in. And you know, there's been a message that's been going past these doors for about the past month. It's been a message. Have we been paying attention? Have we been paying attention? It's been 5 messages that I can remember all the way back to Mother's Day with Sister Brownie, the First Lady. And it's been going. And it's a message the Lord is trying to tell us. He's trying to get it to us. And I pray that I can just give it to y'all the way that he gave it to me. I'll start with reading 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting at verse 1. Amen. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle, we do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the self same thing is God, who also hath given us the earnest of his spirit. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Let us go to prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, O Lord. We thank you for your grace and for your mercy, O God. We thank you for your plans that you have for us, oh God. Plans of not destruction for us, oh God, but plans to give us an expected end, oh God. Hallelujah, God. As we hold on to you and we cling on to you, oh God, we ask that your word go forth in this place today, oh God. That your word go forth wherever we go, oh God. That your light continuously shines through us, oh God, to win souls for your kingdom, oh God. Hallelujah, God. Let it bless the children here today, oh God. They're your children, oh God. Let it bless. Let it uplift. Let it edify, oh God. And let them leave better than the way they came, oh God. And let them share your gospel, oh God. for you would have all to be saved, oh God. You said, I go away to prepare many mansions, oh God. If it was not so, then I would not have told you so. Heavenly Father, we just thank you today, oh Lord. And we give you all the praise and all the glory and all the power. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all may be seated in Jesus' name. The title of the message is Get Out the Way. Don't get swallowed. And I take that primarily from where the thought comes from is in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 4 when it says, for we that are in this tabernacle, other translations say it's a tent because it's temporary. It's temporary. This tabernacle is temporary. We groan for being burdened because we always feel that, oh, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. Working for you, God, is too much. It's too much. You require too much of me. But the Bible says when much is given, much is required. But yet he wants to give us an expected end. So you want a meal on your table, but it's much required to make that meal. It's much required, and I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I got my mom's cooking. I got my wife's cooking. Whichever night it may be, I got good cooking. So I'm blessed. I need to eat smaller portions, though, because Pastor was talking about earlier about going to the doctor and standing on the scale. Yeah, I don't do that. I don't do that, okay? I don't even want to stand on the scale, you know? But God is good anyhow. God is good anyhow. But there's work that is required for us. There's stuff that is required for us. So it benefits us, but that it benefits others. Because we all say we want to go to heaven, but yet we don't want to put in no work. Do we want to be the only ones in heaven by ourselves? Just me and God chilling up there. Hey, God. And I ain't got no other things to fellowship with. Now, don't get me wrong. Being with God is great. That's the end goal, to be with God. But still, we want our friends. We want our families. We want those that are unknown to be with God also. For if we don't want that, then we not going to be with God. Because he going to look at us and turn us away. And he said, because the rocks will praise him. The rocks will praise him. I don't need you standing up here by yourself talking to me. I had the rocks praise me. Because that's how good God is. That's how good God is. But see, we so ready for our new bodies. We so ready for our new bodies. But we not using the body that we have now. We not using our earthly body that we have now because we so ready for our new bodies. But God puts us in places. He puts us in situations. Now we want our old body to be swallowed up. But we don't want our soul to be swallowed up. You know? But if we don't get out the way and let God work through us, everything gonna be swallowed up. And we will not be able to meet him in the sky. As the Bible says, for we want to meet them in the skies. We don't want to be swallowed up down here. We want to meet them in the sky. Hallelujah, Father. Hallelujah. We could tell you on the verse 6, it says, therefore, we are also confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, but we walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, I say, willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present from the Lord. You know, but if we're willing to truly do that, we could be present with the Lord right now. That's why we came today. At least I hope that's why we came today. I know y'all didn't come to see me. I know y'all didn't come to see certain people, but I hope you came to see God. Because that's the main goal, to come and see God. We walk by faith and not by sight. Because we see things and it deceives us. And that's the devil's plan. But if we walk in by faith, then we're confident in knowing what is to come. 2 Thessalonians 3:1 says, "Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you." Now, that was Paul. You know, he wrote to a lot of churches. And all letters weren't good letters. But he wrote what he was supposed to write, what God told him to write, to warn the churches. They know the doctrine. They knew what was wrong. They knew what was right. But he had to do his part in warning them. He had to do his part. And he had to get out the way. He had to get out the way. Paul was murdering, as Saul, he was murdering Christians. But he thought he was doing good. He thought he was doing good. He thought he was doing the works of the Lord. But he wasn't under God's law. He was under Moses' law. And it's a lot of situations. We can't get ourselves out the way. We try to define stuff. We try to figure stuff out. But help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. But if we get out the way, don't allow ourselves to be swallowed, God will reveal it to us. He will reveal it to us, and we'll know it's from God. There will be no doubt. There will be no question. There will be no question. In the Amplified version, he says, it says, you know, that the word of the Lord may speed on and speed rapidly, spread rapidly, and run its course. We want his word to spread rapidly and run its course, but we holding them up. We holding the Lord up. Now, true enough, he don't need us, but he created us for a reason, in his image for a reason, to spread his word. But we holding it up because we keep getting in the way. We say, I don't know if I'm going to talk to that person. I don't know if they want to hear the word of God. But we judging too quickly. The Bible says to go spread my word. And if they don't hear it, then wipe your feet and keep walking. But you got to do your part first. You already took the decision out of God's hand. You already took it out of his hand, and you came upon yourself what was to come and what is to come and what this person know, what this person don't know. Well, that's not true. That's not right. You can't take it out of God's hands. He wants to use every one of you. He wants to use us mightily to do his bidding. He wants us to be his servant and his ministers so he can make us kings and priests. But are we willing to serve the Lord? Because the devil will try to stop us from serving the Lord. The devil will try to stop us from serving the Lord. Why? Not because of you, because he's scared. He's scared of the God in heaven. He's scared of the God in heaven. And he tried to make us scared to do God's bidding. You know, it was a prophet by the name of Jonah. He had a task. He had a task. And you know, he didn't want to do it. You know, a lot of times when we read the book of Jonah, we say, why did Jonah not want to go to Nineveh? And a lot of times we chalk it up to saying he was scared. It was a bad people over there. So he didn't want to go because he was scared for his life. Well, my Bible says different. My Bible tells me why he didn't want to go. And I find it outright foolishly. But guess what? We do it all the time. We do it all the time. I just want to paint this scene for you. In Jonah 1, verse 1, it says, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for the wickedness is come up before me." So he told him to go to Nineveh. The city is bad. This came up before me. Something has to be done. The first thing Jonah did was he rose up and he fled. He rose up and he fled. How many times God done told us to do something and the first thing we did was rise up and flee? He said, let the redeemed of the Lord rise up. But then what? not flee. It don't say flee. The first thing he did was flee. And he went down to Joppa and he got on a boat and he went, he paid the fee to go somewhere. He paid the fee to go to Tarshish. He paid it. He paid it. Why? Because he thought that Tarshish was this remote island somewhere so far off that he could leave God's presence. Because he didn't want to be a servant or minister to God. He didn't want to be the one to go give the Lord's message to the people of Nineveh. And he knew the Lord. He knew the Lord very well. Very, very well. But why would you think you could flee the Lord by running somewhere way over here? I mean, I thought my Lord was omnipotent, all-powerful. I thought he was omniscient, all-knowing. And I thought he was omnipresent everywhere. Everywhere. But he thought he was slick, and he went and paid this fee to get on this boat to go to this island way, way off. Where he thought he was just going to go and just chill out and just, you know, he'd be fine. He'd be okay. They'll be okay. I'll be okay. You know what I mean? So he went over there. But before he gets over there, he gets on this boat. There's some sailors on there. And all of a sudden, the Lord like, hold on. You must forgot I'm everywhere. And he sent out a great wind into the sea. And there was a mighty tempest in the sea so that the ship was like to be broken. See, God gonna break some things. One way or the other, God gonna break some things. That's his goal, to break some things. He breaking the things we don't need. He breaking us down to build us back up. He gonna break some things. And you can't run from it. But guess what? If we go back a few verses, if he would have just went to Nineveh, he would not have had to endure the things that he went through. And they only got a little stranger as we go on. You know, so then the mariners were afraid and they cried every man unto his God, the lowercase g, you know, we talked to the wrong people. And they cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. So now they talk to their gods, and their gods told them what to do, and, you know, they threw stuff off the boat. They threw stuff off the boat to make the boat lighter. But they ain't talked to the right God. They ain't talked to the right God, because they was throwing stuff off. They didn't have to throw off. They going to need that stuff in a little bit, you know, because Jonah not going to stay with them. He can't stay with them. So they going to need these supplies in a little bit, but they threw it off. Because they talk to the wrong God. You ever talk to the wrong person and get that advice, and then you come to find out, ooh, that advice wasn't good. Ooh, that advice didn't do me no good. We should have went to the big God. I remember a pastor said this a couple weeks ago. I found it hilarious. He said, you got to talk to the OG. The OG, not the little G. You know. But they threw it off, and they thought it was going to work out. They thought the storm was going to reside, and they was going to make it to Tarshish, right? But so it wasn't happening. So then at the whole time, this storm is going on. Where's Jonah at? He asleep. Jonah is fast asleep while there's a storm going on. And you know, New Testament, we know that Jesus was on the boat when the storm was going on. And the disciples got very afraid. But why would you get afraid when you know Jesus is on your boat? But in this instance, Jonah was asleep to try to get away from Jesus. Well, God, because at this time, Jesus was not manifested. But I'll get to that a little bit later. But so he's trying to get away. He asleep. He trying to sleep it off from God. How many times we done gone through stuff in life and we trying to sleep because we don't want to face what we got to face. So we trying to sleep thinking it's going to change. We going to wake up and think, oh, whatever it was, it's gone now. No, it's still there. It's still there. You know, I was asleep in the Lord. I was asleep in the Lord. But the Lord is good because he pulled me out. He pulled me out. You know, I thank the Lord for my mother and her prayer, because I know she had to say some prayers for me. Because I done put her through some things that I shouldn't have to even put her through. But her prayers, my wife don't even know how blessed she is that she didn't get to see certain things that my mom had to see. Because that's how good God is. That's how good God is. I was asleep in the Lord. I thought I didn't have to work for the Lord. I thought I was for the streets. I found out I wasn't for the streets real quickly. But I thought I was. Because when my dad passed at 16, you know, you just becoming a man. So instead of doing the right thing and clinging to my mother and clinging to the earth of the Heavenly Father, I cling to the streets because I thought they was my friends. I thought they was the ones that's going to have my back. Whole time getting stabbed in the back. But I'm allowing it to happen. I'm allowing it to happen because I'm sleeping on the Lord. I'm putting myself through things that I shouldn't even have to been put through. My parents didn't sacrifice things for me to even go through the things I went through. And it was one day we went out to the bar, me and my ex, and we were drinking. And so we drunk, and somebody backed into my car. I'm on 21st and Locust. And somebody backed into my car. It's about 3 o'clock in the morning, probably. And I got to talking real reckless, like I was that dude. I got to talking real reckless, like I was that dude. Well, I like to think I held my own, but at the end of the day, my face was bloodied and bruised. Could barely see out of one eye. Other eye swole shut. And I had an Adidas shoe print on the side of my face. You know, and my mom, she had to endure that. As it was one, I remember it like it was yesterday. I came home and, well, I went to the doctor first and they said they can't do nothing because I didn't have no broken bones. And look at God and I say, thank you, God, for that. At the time, I wasn't thanking them. I said, hold on, y'all can't do nothing because I ain't got no broken bones. I said, but my face, I can't even see barely. What you mean? I said, all right. But then I'm just still drunk, hungover, whatever it is at this point. And I go home and I just go in my room and go to sleep. And I hear my mom come in there in the morning. And I just acted like I was still asleep because I couldn't even look at her. I didn't even want to face her, you know. Because she didn't even know what happened. I just came home and went to sleep. So I heard her just crying and just running out. I just laid there asleep because it was nothing I could really, I was just like, it's nothing I could really do. But I was sleeping on God the whole time while there were storms raging around me. And I was sleeping on him. Praise God. So when the shipmaster did come in and he said unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? You arise and you call upon your God, if it be that God will think upon us that we perish not. So now they want Jonah to go to his God because they guys didn't give him the right answer. So then they said unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for who causes evil is upon us. Then they got to ask him all types of questions. They say, what is your occupation? Where you come from? What country are you from? What people are you? Now they concerned. Now they trying to find out everything they can about Jonah to save their own skin. And they ask him plenty of questions. He said, I'm a Hebrew. And he says, I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. So once again, Jonah knew who the Lord was. He feared the Lord, but yet he thought he could run away from the Lord. It's a lot of instances where a lot of people, when you get to talking to them, they say they believe in God. They believe in the Lord. They believe he up there, and they believe he helps out. But I ain't got to come to church. I believe he up there, but I ain't got to come to church. Well, so if you believe God is up there and you believe he helps out, but why wouldn't you want to come to church? Because this earthly body is going to die. But you need to get your heavenly body. But if you just telling me that you just believe and you ain't doing no works with it, I don't think you're supposed to get your heavenly body. it's not going to work out for you. It's not going to work out for you. So then Jonah goes and he tells them. He tells them what to do. He obviously at this point, he talked to God and he told them what they had to do. He said, you got to cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake, this is great tempest is upon you. What did it say? Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land. But they could not, for the sea was wrought and was tempestuous against them. So now Jonah just told you what he all had to do. God just told y'all what you have to do. But they kept rowing harder, thinking that they can get out of the situation when they was in a miry clay and they couldn't get up. But they thought they could. See, sometimes we let people on our boat that gonna bring trouble to us. And we enable them while they own this boat. And we keep going through troubles. Well, the question is, who was on your boat? Who was on your boat? So then finally the men realized, okay, you're right. We got no other option right now. We got no other choice. So then the men, they feared the Lord and they offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, the good Lord. And they made their vows and they became, I want to say they almost became believers of the right God at that moment. Because even though Jonah wasn't supposed to be there, he was there. And God going to use you any way he can use you to win souls for the kingdom. And then once they threw him over, God prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. You see, so now Jonah, he in a fish. He's in a fish. God didn't want Jonah in a fish. He didn't want him in a fish. But he had to show him some things. He had to humble him real quick. He had to humble him real quick because God going to humble you. Because God humbled me so much. God humbled me so much, I don't even know what else to be. But sometimes I do get aside myself with that being said. Because I ain't perfect. I am flesh. But I just praise God for it never removing his hand from me. Never removing his hand from me. So now he's in this fish for 3 days and three nights. You know, that's going to sound familiar. That should sound familiar to some of y'all. And while he's in this fish, he cried by reason of my Jonah 2, chapter 2, verse 2. And he said, I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell I cried, and thou heardest my voice. Verse 4, then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward the holy temple. So he's in this fish and he's starting to realize some things. You know, he got cast out of his sight. A lot of times we feel like that we out of God's sight and we don't know what to do per se. But what did it say he do? He looked again toward the holy temple. He looked again. A lot of us, we feel like we cast out of his sight, but we don't want to look again. We don't want to look again. We don't want to look again. We want to just say, I don't know what's going on. I don't know why I'm in this fish. I guess I'll be okay. If I die, I die. If not, I don't. But I don't know what's going on. I don't know why my life is going on like this. I don't know, because you need to look again towards the holy temple. Verse 7 in the same chapter, it says, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. So once his soul fainted, because now at first bodily, he's in there in the bodily, going through the bodily things. But once his soul fainted, once he realized that, oh, this really might be the end of me for my disobedience. Once his soul fainted, then he remembered the Lord and his prayer came into thee. And then in verse 9, can you give me verse 9, please? It says, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. So now once he came to the Lord and he said he was going to sacrifice his voice of thanksgiving, he will pay what he vowed, and salvation is of the Lord. Now, once he realized salvation is of the Lord, God let him out to fish. But that's where Jonah confused me for a second. Because in a few more chapters that we go get to, he just says salvation is of the Lord. And he realized that. So he decided to go to Nineveh now. Now he say, I'm going to do the work that you want me to do. And I'm going to go to Nineveh. And for 40 days, he walked around Nineveh, and it took 3 days to get around Nineveh each time. And while he walked around them, he preaching that destruction was coming if they don't repent from their evil ways and turn to the Lord. In Jonah 3, verse 5 through 6, so he's preaching the word. And it says, so the people of Nineveh believed God, and they proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them even to the least of them. From the greatest of them even to the least of them. Back in those times, when you put on the sackcloth, it symbolized mourning. So meaning you repenting, but you're not just using false tears. From the greatest to the least. That's Jonah 3, verse 5 through 6. From the greatest to the least. They all repented of their sins. It wasn't about their rank. It wasn't about their title. It wasn't about what they've accomplished. From the greatest to the least of them. Then the word came unto the king of Nineveh. And he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him. He took that robe off. He took the robe off. It was a false covering that wasn't doing him no good. And he covered him with the sackcloth, and he sat in ashes. From the greatest to the least of the people. Then it got to the king of Nineveh. He could have been like, what are y'all doing? What is wrong with y'all people? We know who we are. This is what we do, right? This is what we do. Come on, what y'all doing? But no, he took that robe off and he joined in them, and he demanded a fast in the whole place of Nineveh. Even the animals. He didn't want them to drink or eat nothing either. Even the animals, because he wanted them to be saved. So now it was a great revival. It's a great revival. Jonah did God's bidding. God moved through him. Everything good, right? Everything good. You should be happy that your brother and sister got saved. You should be happy that your brother and sister got blessed. But now Jonah got back in his way again. In Jonah chapter 4, verse 1. It says, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. Hold on, why would he be angry if it was just a great revival? And God used him to be part of it. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God, and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Well, hold on, Jonah in the Old Testament, right? But he knew that God was graceful, merciful, and that he wanted to forgive people of their sins. And that's why he didn't want to go, because he didn't feel like they deserved the goodness of God. Because he said, I'll go say it. I'll go say what you want me to say, God, but nah, that this can't be. You can't be saving these people. Man, that don't make no sense to me, but he knew that God was a God of salvation. Exodus 34, verse 6, please. Exodus 34, verse 6. Because I did not put it in here. I apologize. Exodus 34, verse 6. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. Now, I want to paint a picture for you where we at right now, where we just came to. Moses already came down the mountain and he smashed the tablets. He smashed the tablets because he went up there and he got them. And when he came down, the people ran amok. The people ran amok. It's another message called Don't Lose Your Glow. Because when Moses went up there, he had God's glow all on him just for being next to God. But once he came down and saw what was happening, he just threw down and smashed the tablets that God just gave him. Has God gave you something and you just took it and threw it down because of what you saw? He gave you a piece, but you threw it away because of what you saw. He gave you an understanding, but you threw it down because of what you saw. Come on now. But now God warned Moses. God warned Moses. He said, okay, well, at this point, we come back up. Get me another tablet. And I'm going to write back on it the same thing I wrote back on it before. And he gave him that warning. But he said the same thing that Jonah said, because he said it before Jonah, because Exodus came before. Get the timeline. And he said that he knew that God was merciful and gracious. But yet he's still mad. And he still want to die. Jonah chapter 4, verse 3. It says, therefore, know, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me. For it is better for me to die than to live. Now he mad because the people been saved. And now he wants to die. He wants to die. He said, Lord, take my life from me because I want to die. Well, hold on. He was just swallowed up by this big fish. He was just swallowed up by the big fish and he didn't want to die then. He remembered the Lord and he cried to the Lord. He wants to die, but if he swallowed up now, then his soul going to be swallowed up with him. Got to get out the way. Got to get out the way. So the Lord just said, do as thou well to be angry then. So the Lord, you know, he going to let you simmer sometimes. He going to let you simmer. He ain't going to leave you or forsake you. But he say, okay, I'm going to go over here and do this right now. I still got my eye on you, though, but go ahead, take your time and get it together. You know, just for me being able to talk to y'all today was times where I almost said, you know what? No, I'm not doing this. I done did too much. I keep doing this stuff. I keep doing this. I keep doing that. I keep doing that. And then this get lost, and I keep doing this. And I said, Pastor told me go grab a Snickers. And I said, that Snickers ain't gonna do me no good, okay? But he said it. And I said, all right. And I went home, and I got some of my family's cooking. And then I sent over what I had to send over. And then I sought the Lord. And when I sought the Lord, the Lord told me the same thing he told Moses to tell the people. Tell them I am. Tell them I am. And when he told me that I am, I said, well, all right, Lord. Like, it was like every weight just got lifted off me. Everything just, I was free. I was free. I was at work. People calling in that's supposed to help me. Made my job a little harder. But, you know, usually I get to complaining about that. Like, bro, why you call in for? Yeah. But, you know, I didn't even care. Yeah. I said, well, look, this is my last day. I'm supposed to get this done. And I'm supposed to go meet with these people. And we supposed to get this done. Because uh-huh. The Lord said, I am. And I praise the Lord for that. Yeah. So now, the Lord said, I am. The Lord is the one who's responsible for our salvation. But so God letting them be angry, he letting them fester a little bit. So Jonah went out to the city. He sat on the east side of the city. And there he made him a booth, and he sat under it in the shadow so that he could see that will become of the city. So now it was just a great revival. He was just a big instrument in it. God used him, and they did what they did. But now he's still sitting there under the tree. Not even at the time, he's just sitting there. And he's just sitting there. I wonder what's going to happen to this city. Is God really going to save this city, or is it going to get destroyed? Like I low-key want it to be destroyed. You ever pray for your brother, your sister, and you say a prayer, but you low-key don't mean it? You low-key don't mean it. You just praying for him to be praying for him, but you not really praying for him to let God move through them. You just praying for them to be praying for them so you can be seen praying for them. But you still hoping for their downfall. That's not the God I serve. As for me and my house today, we would choose to serve the Lord. So then he up there looking at the city, and it gets hot. It get hot now. It get hot. Because he said he sat under in the shadow. He was hot. He was trying to cool down. You know. I mean, God saw this, and then that's when God said, okay. And then God prepared a gourd and made it to come over Jonah, that it might be a better shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So now Jonah was exceedingly glad for the gourd. So now why was Jonah glad for the gourd? He was just talking about he wanted to die. He was just hoping for a city's demise. But now he got a little shade. It ain't so hot now. And now he happy for the gourd. You see what I'm saying? We do that too. We go through our trials and our tribulations in life. And once things get good, oh, now we don't want to die. Oh, now life is good. Life is great. Oh, life is just, ooh, thank you. Thank you. Ooh, that breeze, that felt so good. Oh, thank you. I don't even care what I said about such and such right now. That breeze is just blowing on me. And, we cool. We great. Ooh, I got that raise at work. Okay, I ain't got to worry about that bill no more. Ooh, she said she liked me. Okay, we going somewhere with this. But did you not even realize it? Well, you was good, but you just said you wanted to die. But so what my God did is he prepared a worm. He prepared a worm overnight. Didn't take that gourd away. See, what I'm trying to say is sometimes the devil will give you a blessing. That's not really a blessing, but the devil will give you something that you desire, something that you wanted, to make you not have to fear the Lord, not have to worry about the Lord, because the devil give gifts too. Where is your gift coming from? But God prepared a worm to take that away. And he had to, because sometimes God has to do stuff, like I said, to put us back in the place we need to be put in. Where are our treasures at? Are they on this earth or are they in heaven? Are they in heaven? So then now Jonah got mad again, though, and now he want to die again. He want to die. The sun got hot again, and he want to die. And then God said to him in verse 9, he said, doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry, even unto death. You know, we say, what you mad for? Because I'm mad, and I can be mad. That don't even make sense. We just want to be mad. It don't even make sense. He even just said, well, fine. Yeah, I want to die. It's better for me to die then. Why do we say that to God, though? Why do we say that to God, though? It's better for me not to work for you than to be down here where like this. But we know it's more to come. We got to know it's more to come. Because this ain't about nothing down here. Because if it was, we in a world of hurt. Because we could have the best car, the biggest bank account, the prettiest wife, the prettiest husband. We could have all that. But if we don't have God, we don't have nothing. We don't have nothing. So then say it in verse 10. Then say it to the Lord, say, thou hast pity on the gourd, for which thou hast not labored, neither made it grow. It came up in the night, it died in the night. Verse 11, and should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle. So that goes to tell us right there too, that do you think the Lord wanted to have us sacrifice animals back in that time? No, he loved the animals just like anybody else. He didn't want to shed that blood. He didn't want animals to shed the blood. He didn't want it to happen. But he had to break his law in order to give us a covering at that time. And then he breaks law. We want miracles. Every time we get a miracle, it's him breaking a law for us. And that's how good God is. But I just go back to where he said, you're mad about the gourd, but you didn't labor for it. You didn't do nothing to get it. But you mad about it. And you didn't do nothing to get it. But you want me to destroy all these people who don't know they left from their right. Well, I know it's 2024. You know, people like, it's 2024. What that mean? So you can do what you want because it's 2024? And then we get to 2025 and they say it's 2025. We can do what we want to do. Like, what? What? It don't even make sense. We supposed to be working for the Lord, waiting for him to come and get us so we can meet him in the sky, so that we don't get swallowed up down on this earth. I'm going to close this out. And it's so funny because God is so good. If you didn't see Pastor Brownie's Sunday School, I encourage you to look it up and watch it, because God confirmed it to me. It's right here, Romans 8:6-8. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Because he was so carnally minded, where he just wanted people destroyed. He wanted himself to be destroyed. But he wasn't spiritually minded. But then you say, well, was he? Because he said he knew who God was. He knew, he feared the Lord. But you got to put it all together. Because sometimes we be too spiritually minded, we do no earthly good. Colossians 3:17, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. So we want to be mad all the time and do all this stuff, but we not working the righteousness of God. But while we mad, we want God to help us. But we not living righteously, we not living holy, but we want God to help us. I close. I got two more scriptures. Because, see, God gave Jonah his due. Matthew 12:38-41. Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. And there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonas. And behold, a greater than Jonas is here. Well, greater than Jonas is here. He living inside of us. A greater than Jonas is here. Because the Pharisees couldn't get out their way neither. They couldn't even get out their way. The whole time they trying to catch Jesus up. The disciples just ate some corn. They trying to catch Jesus up on some things. Jesus just healed somebody on the Sabbath. They trying to catch Jesus up because they can't get out their way and see who Jesus is. They can't get out their way and see who Jesus is. They said he done healed this man and it was works of the devil. Hold on. But my Bible says the devil is like a roaring lion seeking to kill and devour who he may. So if it's a man going through something, I don't think the devil is going to be the one to heal that man. I don't think so. I think the devil is going to keep that demise. So how is it the works of the devil? Because you can't get out the way and see the goodness of Jesus. And he said, a greater than Jonas is here. The chapter go on to talk about Solomon and his wisdom. And he said, a greater than Solomon is here. And people looking for a sign. Well, people, we done saw a lot of signs. We done see many signs. Some of us see them for what they are. Other of us see that it is not a sign. As Sister Michelle was talking about in her this morning in her praise report, they say it's science. It's not a sign. It's just science. No, it's a sign to warn you. But guess what? You don't want to see that sign? Okay, a greater than Jonas is here. Jesus is inside of us. He's living inside of us. He's here in this place right now. He's trying to warn us. The last five messages, I'm going to break them down. The last five messages, starting on Mother's Day with Sister Brownie, a bride or a concubine. So now we want to be the bride, and we realize that we want to be the bride, and we don't want to be a concubine. Right? So then we go to Pastor Brownie's message. A blind spot. Get the log out of our eye. So now we got the log out of our eye now. Now we starting to see a little bit clearer what we should be looking at and not looking at. Then we go to Brother Hatton. We witness. We witness things the Lord have done for us. We witness the things the Lord has done for us. So then we go last week to Brother Parker. Love you, brother. He said, now you got to get the word of God. And all you need is the word of God. So now you put all four of them together and you go with the message that he gave me. Get out the way and don't get swallowed now. Praise God. Last verse, Psalms 2, verse 10 through 12. Be wise now, therefore. O ye kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish from the way. When his wrath is kindled but a little, but blessed are all they that put their trust in him. So you trust him now? I hope you trust them now, because usually when we say we appreciate somebody, we listen to what they tell us. You can't appreciate somebody and not listen to them. You can't appreciate the Lord and not listen to them. So when you trust in somebody, you trust in them. He gave Peter the keys and said, the gates of hell shall not prevail. That's my closing. Don't let hell prevail. Don't get swallowed up. Don't get swallowed up, but get out the way and let the Lord move through you. Don't put God in a box. It's not for us to put God in a box. But don't put yourself in a box neither. Don't put yourself in a box neither. And let the Lord move on you. Heavenly Father, we thank you right now in the name of Jesus, oh Lord. We thank you for this message that went through today, oh God. And we ask, oh God, that you move in this place, oh God. You touch the hearts of those that need to be touched, oh God. Heavenly Father, you fill someone with your Holy Ghost in this place today, oh God. So they can have greater than Jonas inside of them too, oh God. Heavenly Father, have your way, oh God. Have your way, oh God, for we thank you, oh Lord, We thank you for it all, O God, for you consider it all joy, O Lord. You consider it all joy, O Lord. And we too can consider it joy to work for you, O God, to serve you, O God, to leave all our past behind, O God, because you made us new, O God. Our past don't define us, O God. It's you, O God. Heavenly Father, we ask for your outreach, O God, for your flooding of the Spirit, O God. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah, God. Rain down on us, O God. Anoint us, O God. Hallelujah, Lord. Let us have the oil, O God, for we know we can't steal someone else's oil, O God. But we know we must be prepared and watchful at all times for your coming, O Lord. At all times, O Lord, let us seek you, O God. Let us call out to you, O God. Let us remember you, O God, through it all, O God. As you come, O God, have your way in this place, O God. Save, O God. Save, O God. Restore, O God. Renew, O God. Right now, in the name of Jesus, O God. And we lift your name on high, O God. For you have all the power and all the glory, O God. That thy will be done on heaven as in earth, O God. Hallelujah, Lord. We praise your holy name. In Jesus' name, amen. The altars are open. The altars are open. The altars are open. Come to the Lord. Come to the Lord. Come to the Lord. Whatever you're going through right now, the Lord wants to take it from you. The Lord wants to take it from you. The Lord wants to use each and every one of you. Whatever you don't think you can do, come bring it to the Lord, because he's going to let you know you can do some things. You can do some things. The Lord has you. He has you. And he wants you. Because he created many mansions. If it wasn't so, then why would he say so?